Spain. This country that has 46 million inhabitants and is located in the south of Europe. A beautiful country that is famous for the good weather, good food, and of course, nice people. Hello, welcome back to Mushtar FM 89.6. I am Maria, and today I want you to travel with me to my home country, which is Spain, because today I have a very interesting topic, or at least I think so, in Experience of the World, which is not a program that I usually do, but today I felt like this topic could be good for this section of our beautiful radio, Mushtar FM. So, as I was saying, let's go to Spain. Come with me, prepare a nice drink, maybe a little bit of sangria if you have it right there, or maybe normal soda. Grab also snacks and get ready because we are starting. So why did I tell you in such a calming voice, I want to say, and in a hurry maybe because maybe you're not ready to go to Spain. Why did I tell you to go to Spain with me? Because today I want to talk about Spanish representation in foreign entertainment. And I will develop this idea further. Basically, I was watching a show the other day called Warrior Nun, which is a show that I will explain later. And I noticed that the show, even though it's from the US, it's located like all the action happens in Spain. So I was curious about that. You know, I was like, why did they decide to film in Spain? Because I know that, of course, Spain has beautiful locations, it has good weather, and, you know, for certain movies or TV shows, it can create the perfect atmosphere that they need. So I got to think, like, why do people choose this? And what movies and TV shows have been recorded in Spain that maybe I don't know about, and maybe people don't know about? Because you know that there are some shows and movies that people know that have been filmed in Spain. For example, Game of Thrones, they have a lot of scenes in the middle of Spain, like in the center area, also in the south. Like, people know about this. I think it's very famous that the actors came to Spain also to film. Also, the show The Witcher has been filmed in Spain, Indiana Jones. And even if you're a pop music fan and you like the group Little Mix, you should know that they recorded Shout Out to My Ex, one of their music videos, in the desert of Almeria. It's funny to me that these people, these producers, these directors and everyone, they decide to come to Spain to record. And so, yeah, let's go right in because I have a lot of examples that I want to tell you about. So first of all, as I was saying before, like the one that inspired me to do this podcast is Warrior Nun. So Warrior Nun is a show that was created by Netflix. It was born in 2020. And last year in 2022, it was canceled. It's very unfair that it was canceled. But I will do another podcast in the future about what Netflix is doing, canceling their shows. But yeah, this show is, okay, I will give you the premise. It is quite confusing, at least for me, because it has a lot of complex ideas about religion, about angels, and about a lot of stuff. But basically, this show is about a girl. Her name is Eva Silva, and she is an orphan. Her mother died when she was 7 years old or 8 years old, I believe, in a car crash in Spain because she's not Spanish. I don't know where she's really from. Like, I know that the actress is Portuguese, so maybe the character is Portuguese or maybe from the US. Like, I don't know. It could be either way. So yeah, this girl, Eva, she lives in an orphanage and she's also quadriplegic because of the accident. One day she dies. We don't know how, like, the nun that was taking care of her, because she was in a Catholic orphanage, the nun that was taking care of her, she said that it was Eva, the one that took her life. But we don't really know because the whole thing is suspicious, so don't really believe what that nun is saying. So we have that, and on the other hand, we have the nuns. Okay, so there are other nuns in Spain. Everything happens in my region, like Andalusia, like the south of Spain, which I think is hilarious. Like, I love it so much that they decided to do that there, because I know that for sure, like, I mean, the show is about priests and nuns, so it makes sense that you would choose, like, a very old Catholic country. I mean, people nowadays, it's different, but back then, like, with Italy, I think Italy and Spain were, like, the same type of Catholic, very traditional, you know? So I think it makes sense that it's in Spain. Also, we have a lot of churches, of course. So these nuns that live in Andalusia, probably in Malaga, I think that it was shot in Malaga specifically, they are not normal nuns. They are nuns that fight demons. Okay, so it's already like sci-fi fantasy territory. And there is this one nun who is special among the other ones because she is called the warrior nun. And she is also the halo bearer. So this means that she got a halo that came from an angel. And this halo is located inside of her back, like it's inside of her. And it gives her supernatural abilities like levitating, healing herself, going through walls, and super strength, a lot of things. This person is really powerful. But the first episode starts when this warrior nun dies and they have to find the successor, like the next person who is going to wear the halo. What happens? That they are attacking the nuns. So the person that is like the surgeon, let's say, that is supposed to take the next one in line, which is another nun. She runs away because she's been chased. So she finds this body of Ava, like the main character, and she puts the halo inside of her, like on her back, because she needs to save the halo. And so Ava wakes up from the dead, like she resurrects, and now she has this halo on her back and a lot of problems because everyone is looking for her. So that is basically like the premise of the show. It is very interesting. For me, it was very funny that it was located in Spain because, as I said, like it's located in Andalusia. Like everything happens there. You could see like the main character running through Marbella streets. I don't know. It's like so amazing to me. And there is a scene where the main character doesn't have clothes or like her clothes are full of blood and stuff like that. So she goes into, like she gets thrown into with her powers, a store that is Malaga's store, like the football club of Malaga. And she has to wear the Malaga football clothes. And it's funny because she says, like, I hope that this team doesn't suck. Like, and this team, I think it's not doing very well right now. But like, I like that she is like casually going through Marbella streets wearing the Malaga's football club clothes. I think it's just hilarious. I don't know. But I was watching it and I was like, I mean, it is a true representation, I think, of Spain. Because also I will judge whether this representation of Spain is accurate or not. Because I also think that sometimes it can be true, but sometimes it's like, what? Like, why do you think Spain is like this? Usually people in movies talk about like bulls in Pamplona and think that everyone likes bulls and goes after like, not after, but like the bulls chase people and stuff. Like everyone does that and it's not like everyone. So there are like a few misconceptions and to me, I'm here to break them all down as a true Spanish. So yeah, also, and to finish with Warrior Nana, even though everything happened in Andalusia, most of the seasons happen in that part of Spain. Also, they go to Madrid in the second season and they go to Prado Museum, which is also very interesting and very Spanish. And I like that the characters speak Spanish, like there are some actors who are Spanish, like for example, the priest, he is Spanish. Also, one of the nuns, she is also Spanish. But there are some people, like there are some actors who can speak Spanish, even though they're not Spanish. Like the main character, Ava, she can like talk a little bit. And other characters that have lived there for a long time also can speak. And for me, it's amazing when they're just walking through Madrid and she's saying like, yeah, let's go to Museo del Prado or let's just do something. And they speak in Spanish. Oh, also, I didn't mention it, but there was another city that they went to that is also located in Malaga. And I wanted to point this one out because for me, it's hilarious how the storyline followed the city. So basically, in the first season, I don't remember what episode it was, maybe like episode 7 or 8, there are two characters, Ava and another one called Shotgun Mary, and they are stranded in a desert. Well, it's not really a desert because Malaga doesn't have deserts, but it's like in the middle of the mountains, let's say, and they have to walk to find another city, and they end up in Ronda. Ronda is a city, my father was born there, first of all, and it's a city that is beautiful. Like, it's a place with a lot of mountains, and it has this bridge that crosses one part of the city to the other, and it's just gorgeous city. And they go there and they say that in the plot line, like a lot of people died because demons ate them. So like half of Ronda is gone. And to me, that was just funny to imagine like a city next to you that they're saying like, yeah, like demons killed all these people. To me, it's just like this idea. It was so funny to me. But yeah, okay. So I just wanted to mention that just for my own entertainment. But I think it's also an interesting fact that if you didn't know, you know now. So yeah, with this, we finish with Warrior Nun and we go to our first musical break. And we're going to be listening to some Spanish music or music in Spanish. So I hope you enjoy it. Let's go.
She's into superstitions. Like still a premonition. That girl's gonna make me fall. She's into new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got new addictions for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. In a funky cheap hotel, she took my heart and she took my money. She must have slipped me a sleeping pill. She never drinks the water, makes you order French champagne. Once you've had a taste of her, you'll never be the same. You should make you go insane.
Okay, and we're back from the musical break. The second thing I want to talk about is not a TV show or movie, but it is a video game, and it is Assassin's Creed. So I don't know a lot about this game because I usually play video games, but I'm not a gamer, let's say. I play games like The Sims and, I don't know, like Minecraft, things that are easy and chill, not like Assassin's Creed, you know, that it feels like it's more intense. So for those of you that, like me, don't know what this game is about, it's an open-world action-adventure and stealth game franchise published by Ubisoft and developed mainly by its studio Ubisoft Montreal. The series features historical fiction, science fiction, and fictional characters intertwined with real-world historical events and historical figures. In most games, players control a historical assassin while also playing as an assassin initiate or someone caught in the Assassin-Templar conflict in the present-day framing story. So, as I've read and as the description says, this game is supposed to be about history, like the there are some historical things that happen and they're supposed to be accurate, I think. I mean, or they should be. The characters are fictional, but the historical events and historical figures are supposed to be real. That's what I understood, at least. So it is funny to me that this happens, one of the games happens in Spain, or at least one of the scenes, as I'm aware, and they are in Seville, okay. And there is a famous monument in Seville called La Giralda. And this monument is like very iconic. Like, I think Spanish people, all of them know about this monument. And maybe some people that are from other countries are aware of Seville and its beauties. But it's funny to me that the main character has to jump from La Giralda for like a jump of faith. I don't really know how it's called, but like he has to jump from this high place, which is this monument. And he starts jumping from La Giralda. But when he lands, he is in La Alhambra. La Alhambra is a place that is in Granada, which is another city completely. I looked it up, and between those two monuments, like those two cities, I mean, it is still Andalusia, but it's not the same city. Between those two cities, there are 260 kilometers. So it's impossible that he jumped from La Giralda and he landed in La Alhambra. Like, to me, that's so funny that people think that those two monuments are just the same city. They think that the cities are just like, because distance in Spain is not that much compared to other countries. For example, in the US, like if you want to go from New York to California, you're going to have to take a flight. But in Spain, it's not that far. So I think that's why distance is different. And they think that everything is just like one city is 2 minutes apart from the other. But it's impossible. Like he went from one city to another just jumping off a building. It's like, yeah, so this is inaccurate. So you have bad mark from me because this is not accurate at all. It is funny. I give you that. And now I want to go to a movie, okay? This movie is called That's Amor. The name is just funny. Like, That's Amor. Who came up with that? Like, I want to meet the people who wrote that just because it's funny. So this movie is a Netflix movie and it was released just last year. And when I saw it, like when I saw the trailer, I was like, ooh, this seems interesting. Like, because it is about a girl who loses her job and her relationship on the same day. So she needs to start from scratch, but she meets this Spanish chef, okay, Matias. And they say that he might be her missing ingredient, you know, to life, to fully enjoy life. It's just very funny at first also. So yeah, this girl has lost everything and she goes to live with her mother again. And her mother is like, yeah, let's go to this Spanish cuisine class. And the daughter is like, I don't want to go. I really don't want to. Because I think also, yeah, she fell from some stairs and now she was working on crutches. So yeah, everything is wrong. So she finally accepts to go to this class, even though she didn't want to go in the first place. But her mother tricks her, so she ends up going. And she meets Matias, of course, the Spanish chef. And there are a lot of things in this movie which are Spanish. And I was like looking at it thinking, is it gonna be good or bad? Because it could be like, yeah, it could be very accurate because there were gonna be basically like a lot of dishes of Spanish cuisine. So I was thinking maybe it's gonna be good, maybe it's gonna be like completely inaccurate. But let's see, let's give it a chance. So first of all, they made tortilla de patatas, Spanish omelette. I think there's nothing difficult about a Spanish omelette, so like they did a good job. I remember the main character, Sofia, she was saying like, oh, but this is super easy to make. Like, oh my God, this dish is like very easy and it's like... And I was like, don't come for Spanish cuisine, don't be rude. Like, I know it might be an easy dish. And I know that, for example, in Russia, they make this dish out of things that are left. I don't know. It's typical of Spain. So she should respect that. I don't know. Like the Spanish in me comes out and it's like, please respect my cuisine because it is very good. So they make, as I said, Spanish omelette. They also make, it's either salmorejo or gazpacho. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's gazpacho. One of the two. Also okay. Then they make paella the last day, which I think also was fine. Sangria was also involved. Like, they did make a lot of Spanish dishes, which I was surprised about because they were like, I was like, they're gonna run out of Spanish dishes. Like, we don't have that many. But they ended up, like, every class, they were, like, bringing a new one. And I was like, okay, sure. But, I mean, it was good representation of Spanish people, I think. I mean, they portrayed this positive vibe and wanted to have fun. So it's like, okay, it's not that bad. Also, they danced jota, which I'm not familiar with because it's not from my region. But I was like, okay, this is like very deep, you know, like these traditions that I don't even know. So overall, the representation, I can say that it was good. It was cheesy, very cheesy, but it was good. And now let's go to our next musical break.
se decide en un tablero de ajedrez. Que los sueños son engaños que al final desaparecen. Dicen tantas cosas que podrían no decirlas y callarse de una vez. Dicen que se ama de una forma y que no hay forma de cambiar. Que el amor es solo un juego y una estúpida ilusión. Y el estúpido resulta ser aquel que no ama a nadie de corazón. Así que intenta caminar, dibuja libremente el camino. Perdimos tiempo en rebuscar pedazos de un pasado marchito. Vive sin barreras, así que déjate de historias y ven, acércate que te cuente lo que vamos a hacer. Saca de tu pecho el rencor y mira bien hacia dónde se dirigen tus pies. Enséñame tus alas y grita que la vida es bonita aunque esté del revés. Vívela, 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 vívela. Dicen que la suerte es caprichosa y nos dispone el porvenir. Y que venga como venga la tenemos que asumir. Dicen que tenemos un reloj que determina lo que nos va a ocurrir. Dicen que el destino manda siempre por encima del querer. Y yo te digo que el querer acaba siendo poder. Y el poder cambiarlo todo está en las manos del que quiera hacerlo bien. Así que intenta caminar, dibuja libremente el camino. Perdimos tiempo en rebuscar pedazos de un pasado marchito. Déjate de historias y ven, acércate que te cuente lo que vamos a hacer. Saca de tu pecho el rencor y mira bien hacia dónde se dirigen tus pies. Enséñame tus alas y grita que la vida es bonita aunque esté del revés. Vívela, vívela.
Okay, and we're back from the musical break. Now I want to go to one of the movies that was like the best thing that ever happened to me when I was a child, because this movie is just like so colorful, so amazing. I just don't have any words to describe it, because I am talking about the Cheetah Girls too. Okay, so for people who are not familiar with the Cheetah Girls, they have three movies. The first one happens in New York. The second one happens in Barcelona, which is the one that I'm going to talk about. And the third one happens in India. Yeah, the Cheetah Girls is basically this group of women. There are four women who dream of being a girl group. So in the first movie, like, they tried to be a girl group. They didn't really succeed because they wanted to get signed with a label and it didn't really work out. But in the second movie, they're like, okay, there is a talent show in Barcelona, which I think is like very random, but it's like, okay, because it was like fate, you know, like this pamphlet flew through their window and they were like, oh, there is a talent show in Barcelona, let's just go. And they were like, okay, let's go. And also it's a coincidence because Chanel, who is one of the singers, one of the members of this group, her mother is dating a Spanish guy, which is very, very timely, you know. But what makes me a little bit, not mad, but, you know, irks me, is that in the first movie, this guy was French. This guy, I remember, he was French, but in the second movie, because they went to Barcelona, now this guy is suddenly Spanish, because it's the same guy, like it's Luke. I remember perfectly. It's not a different guy that she started dating another guy. No, no, it's the same guy. Now this guy is from Barcelona, or he lives in Barcelona. The actor is from Barcelona. So yeah, in that aspect is okay because he is Spanish, so I am glad. So yeah, not thinking about that, that the fact that in the first movie he was French, we go to Barcelona, the four of them go, and now they have to work on their new songs and everything. So there's one of them, Galeria, and she's like completely invested on writing the songs and winning the competition. But the other three girls are more invested in having fun and like discovering the city, and you know, they're not really that serious. So that's where the conflict happens. It's very nice. I mean, there are some things that are inaccurate. For example, in Spain. The tango is not Spanish. I believe the tango is from Argentina, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it's from Latin America for sure. And they dance tango, and I'm like, okay, it's not really accurate of in the Latin vibes, okay, but I was like, eh. And this guy, Joaquin, who's supposed to be Dorinda's love interest, he's also not Spanish. I believe that he's from the Netherlands. So he's like, okay. I mean, could be that you hire different actors, even though they're not Spanish. Then we have, of course, the amazing, beautiful, extraordinary Belinda. I thought all my life that she was Mexican because, like, she is very big in Latin America. She was born in Madrid, though, but I think she was raised in Mexico. But now knowing that she was born in Spain is, like, I cannot say anything about it because, I mean, it's Belinda, so I wouldn't say anything bad about it because she's Belinda. So, amazing. I loved it. Also, they sang a song in Spanish, Chanel and Belinda. Ana Nanita Nana. I love it. Above, amazing. I mean, yeah, we get to see, in that movie, we get to see Barcelona, we get to see some of the most famous landscapes. And of course, in the end, they sing the famous song, amazing song, Amigas Cheetahs. Which is amazing also that they use Spanish for this. And it's just like, yeah, they use the Spanish guitar and Chanel is wearing like this torero outfit. Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's corny, really corny. But I mean, overall, the representation with the songs and everything is just... it's just amazing. I love it. And I mean, I'm biased, of course, because I love this movie. Like, it's a movie from my childhood, so I love it. And also another TV show that I want to talk about, the last one for today, is called Legends of Tomorrow. It started in 2016 and ended last year because it was cancelled. And yeah, it was from the channel CW. And this show is very particular because, and it had to be on this podcast, because they are time travelers, essentially. So these Legends of Tomorrow are people who live in a spaceship and have to solve the anachronisms that happen when someone does something in time that is not supposed to happen. So, for example, we could imagine that there is a brand of juice, okay, because I love the juice. It's not a gossip show, but... So, in this brand of juice, there is a famous person we can imagine, for example, let's say Marie Curie. But then something happens, and instead of Marie Curie, we see Napoleon, let's say, for example. Like, I'm making all this up. So, the time travelers have to go back to the time period where that mistake happened, and they have to fix it for reality to be the way it is. That's basically the essence of the show. So, obviously, they go to these time periods, and they've gone everywhere. They've gone to when pirates were a thing, they've gone to Russia with Rasputin, to the old Wild West. They've gone everywhere. Anywhere you can imagine, they've gone. So I was like, they must have gone to Spain at some point to fix something, to meet some important person or to do something special. Because of course, Spain, you know, it's a place that historically has a lot of culture and a lot of historical events that they could talk about. So I was like, yeah, for sure, they must have gone at least once. And I saw that, yes, they did go on season 6, episode 10. And I think they might have gone more times to Spain, but this time is the most recent one. And I think it's very, very funny. So I will comment on it because it's just amazing. So you know that in Spain, we have like the main cities, which are Madrid, Barcelona. Then we have my region, which is Andalucía, and there's Seville, Malaga, you know, these cities. So we have all these famous cities. I mean, if someone were to time travel, I would guess that they would go to some of these places because foreign people know these cities more than like other cities in Spain, even though there are a lot of cool places in Spain that, of course, people don't know, but they are amazing. Like the center of Spain, the north, like it's amazing. The whole of Spain, I really like. So I think that they could go and historically, there's a lot to tell, so I think they could go anywhere they wanted. I'm going to explain it as I saw it, because it's just amazing. So in this episode, we have John Constantine. He's a demonologist, okay? He has, like, powers and stuff. And then we have Spooner, who is a Latina girl. She speaks Spanish. That's good for this context. And they have to go and do their mission and whatever is going on with the plots. It's almost like the end of the season, so they have a lot of things to do. So they open a map of Spain, okay? And the topic of the 60th season of Legends of Tomorrow is aliens. So I'm like, okay, so what possibly could happen in Spain about aliens? So they have this map open up, right? Now you could see Spain and you can see like some alien letters and they're trying to read it. And there is a big letter in the southeast of Spain. That is not my region. It's a little bit above my region. And that letter is right above Albacete. So this girl says, yes, we need to go to Albacete. Why is this funny to me? Albacete it's a city that we laugh about it, but not because we are mean to them or something. It's just because it's a city that is used when you want to make a joke. Like, for example, yes, to Albacete. Like, for example, when you're saying, yes, I'm going to go there as a joke or because you want to make a point or whatever. And it's funny. It's like Cuenca, you know, it's another city that we use. And when it's like a funny context or funny situation. So when they said Albacete, I was like, I cannot believe that out of all the towns in Spain, they chose Albacete. I mean, Albacete needs representation, of course. But if someone from Albacete was watching this show, they were probably like, yes, my town, my city, like, I feel proud. But for me, it was so funny. Like, it was so funny that they chose that town among all the other towns. Like, why Albacete? Like, you know, it's like, I don't understand, but I respect that decision. So yeah, they go to Albacete. The year is 1939. The Second World War started, but we were focused in Spain on like repairing the country because the Civil War had just ended. We had the dictator and stuff. Like a lot of things were happening historically in that year, so I was curious about how they were going to deal with it. So the two characters go there because of alien activity, as I said. And he, like the guy, John Constantine, he explains basically everything that has happened. He says, yes, they just finished the Civil War. Like there are like fascists and there is like, the rich are like pairing with the fascists, and then they have the democratic government that was overruled by these fascists. And I'm like, why? Like, it's like a history class. I could not believe that they were literally giving a history class. I have not seen the whole show, but I've seen bits and pieces. And I know that they like explain a little bit. For example, if they go to Russia to Rasputin, they say, oh yeah, Rasputin works for the Romanov family and he had an affair with the Tsar's wife or something. Maybe it's not historically accurate if they did have an affair or not, but you get my point. Like they usually explain what's happening in that time period. They're just saying, okay, we need to take into account that this guy is doing this and this guy is doing that. So they might be able to stop us or to get us in trouble or whatever. But no, like, yeah, as I said, like a whole history class, like this is what happened. So I was flabbergasted. And then they get to a bar that is called Molino y Vino, which means mill and wine, which I love. There is probably a restaurant with that name in Spain, probably. So they get into this restaurant and there is the server and also another guy there. And the Latina girl, Spooner, starts speaking in Spanish because they're saying, oh, close the door. And she closed the door because she understands, obviously. And they start talking in Spanish like the server, the ones that are supposed to be Spanish, okay, not the Latina. The Latina speaks with her accent, is beautiful, but the people who are supposed to be Spanish, their accent is not Spanish. Like, it sounds like someone, like a Latina person who is trying to make an accent. I could tell that she was faking the accent. That's all I want to say. Like, I just noticed. So yeah, in conclusion, I want to say that I love that Spain is represented in media, in foreign media, because I think it's very interesting how people see us from the outside and that they recognize our culture and our traditions and basically like have characters speaking in Spanish, which I love. And I hope that they keep doing it in the future, but you know, taking into account that there are certain things that look a little bit fake. And then they continue to come to Spain to film their things because I think we do have like a special landscape and a certain vibe that they would like for their recordings. So yeah, I think it's amazing that they do. I mean, I just love that they do it in their own way as well because I can talk about it. For me, it's also fun. So yeah, keep doing your thing. So that was it for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I did. Don't forget that you can follow us on our social media. We are on Facebook and on Instagram. And I will see you when I see you in this life or the next. Bye-bye.